We acknowledge human beings as being created in the image of God. We acknowledge the vilest sinner, the vilest prostitute, drug dealer, the person, the abortionist, the person you hold in the least discard. Do you acknowledge the fact that in spite of the evil and the wickedness in which they're involved, that the very fact that they're created in the image of our Father God, and the very fact that Christ died on a cross gave them value in the sight of the Lord? Because it did. It did.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
We're going to talk a little bit about what that means. How do you honor God? How do you honor one another? How do you, what is honor? What is it, when you're honored, is there a responsibility that goes with that honor? There's just so many things I think we need to talk about today. But we're just going to do a couple of things first to honor our veterans.
Years ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment, and I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I, the armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. And they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who the night before D-Day tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We are surrounded today by the dead of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. A promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Yeah, let's thank the Lord. I'd like to have our veterans come up first. If they would just come up here, all our veterans would come up here and stand in the front. The Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. And then I would also like their spouses, sons, daughters, wives. No husbands, hopefully. I would like to also ask them to stand up. You know, people go to Vietnam, people go overseas. Some people stay behind. Everybody has a sacrifice. I was encouraged to see that they had, what's his name, honey?
Crenshaw.
The representative Crenshaw, who was a three-tour Navy SEAL, lost an eye in Afghanistan, and one of the comedians on SNL did a stand-up of some sort and made fun of him for losing his eye. And so, to their credit, they actually had that guy on the SNL news skit apologize. He said, you know, I was just trying to get a laugh and I made a poor decision. And he apologized. And then they had Crenshaw slide out next to him. And they let Crenshaw take two or three shots at his picture. And then he shared, you know, there's some takeaways from this moment. And it's not just that the left and the right can agree on some things and be civil. It's also that we can forgive one another as Americans and that we can draw together. He said, and when you see a veteran, thank them for their service. Just say this, I'll never forget or never forget. And he said, it's my heart that we would erase this invisible line between veterans and the civilians they serve to protect. And I think that's absolutely true. My mom did without a husband for 2 years, with had two hellion, crazy, dangerous boys in the house. You handled them. Yes, you did. That woman can swing a pipe wrench. That's all I'm saying. But, a lot of people made a lot of sacrifices, but I'm just so thankful. The families that you can be, that our vets can be seated once you've taken our gift. Mike just wanted to share something. Mike Franklin is, of course, runs our bookstore for us. He's very active in our Celebrate Recovery program, and he is also a veteran of the United States Army in service in Vietnam, and he's written something for the occasion. I've asked him to share it. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity to just speak for a couple of minutes. At the 11th hour of the 11th day, in the 11th month of 1918, the guns of the First World War fell silent. And this year, 2018, marks the 100th anniversary of that momentous event. And throughout that 100 years, the American people have observed this day, first as Armistice Day, and now as Veterans Day. So I thank all of you who are here and all those gathered at other sites for continuing this great tradition. This morning, we honor all Americans who have served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, both in times of peace and in times of war. We offer you our deepest gratitude and respect, for you have passed the torch of liberty from your generation to the next. So I say to each and every veteran gathered here today, and to those who could not be here, we are grateful for your service. We are grateful for your sacrifice. These things I know: the reality of your honor, the power of your courage, the blood of your wound, the depth of your strength, the memories that bind you, the dread that remains, your dignity and your valor. From Bunker Hill to Normandy, from San Juan Hill to Okinawa, from Gettysburg to Baghdad, over 50 million men and women have worn the uniform of the United States, and nearly 20 million still walk among us today. The debt our nation owes those who served is a debt we will never be able to fully repay. Remember, it is the veteran, not the preacher, who has preserved our freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has preserved our freedom of press. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has maintained our right to assemble. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has preserved our free speech. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has preserved our right to a fair trial. And it is the veteran, not the politician, who made sure we still have the right to vote. It is the veteran who took a stand and did not waver in the midst of fire and mud and bullets and mortars that allows us to sleep soundly at night. It is the veteran who overcame fear and longing for home and family that allows us to hear a plane up in the sky and not have to wonder, is it one of ours? This is the land of the free because it's still the home of the brave. And you, our veterans, are the brave. I encourage everyone to remember in your heart and through shed tears that these heroes fought and sacrificed, and yes, some died, so that the beacon of liberty still lights our path and the flag waves proudly proclaiming freedom. I think you'll find that true heroism is very undramatic. It is not the urge to surpass all others at whatever cost. It is rather the urge to serve others at whatever cost. So, veterans, we pray for the sound of your laughter, the power of your voice, the blood of your yearning, the depth of your healing, the joy that frees you, the hope that remains, your wholesome, your wholeness, and your love. There are not words big enough. There is not a hug strong enough. There is not a smile wide enough. All I can offer is thank you. You, all veterans, are our heroes. You are in our thoughts. You are in our prayers. For all you've done, thank you. To the families of veterans, we also say thank you because families also sacrifice and serve. I want to close with some lyrics from a Charlie Daniels song. Most of you know Charlie Daniels from The Devil Went Down to Georgia, but he also did one of my favorite all-time gospel albums. The story that the song tells did not happen to me, but my buddies and I traveled by helicopter frequently, so we were trained for what we called hot LZs, hot landing zones. This happened whenever a helicopter landed in an unsecured area, and half a dozen of us would jump out as soon as the chopper touched down and spread out about 20 paces to establish a defensive perimeter as quickly as possible to protect the chopper and its crew from any attack. Helicopters, or choppers as we called them, were life in Vietnam. They brought supplies, evacuated the wounded, and extracted people from some messy situations. And most of them came with a lot of firepower. So protecting them was very important. We would hold that defensive perimeter for as long as necessary until the chopper was ready to go. Then we'd jump back on board and get out of there as quickly as possible. So that's why this particular song has meaning to me and brings back memories. He got lost from his unit in the jungle alone with the enemy on the advance. As the bullets and tracers flew over his head, he knew that he didn't stand a chance. He fired his rifle and he tried to be brave, though his senses were frightened and numb. He lay on the ground with a lump in his throat because he knew that the end would soon come. But back home, a mother was down on her knees praying, "Be with my son, keep him safe, Father, please. When it all looks so hopeless, just a one-sided fight, his deliverance flew into the night. And the enemy scattered as the chopper touched down and lifted the soldier off the hard-killing ground. He could feel the Lord's presence in the hot jungle air, surrounded by mercy and protected by prayer. My hope for each and every veteran is that you may always be surrounded by mercy and protected by prayer. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike always does a great job. There's also another veteran that I asked to share.
My name is Boyce Allen, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit, and hopefully you'll listen a little bit. If you get through listening before I get through talking, let me know, and we'll work something out, okay? I consider myself a soldier. I've been a soldier since I was 19 years old. Take a look at this mug, and that'll tell you that's been a while. I spent 40 years plus with the military. 22 and a half years, 1 month, 5 days, 7 hours and 22 minutes on active duty in the Army. That last little bit was a lie. I don't know how long it was. But we did move 17 times in 22 years. My wife always with us, providing a home, a loving home for me and my family, which includes him.
I wondered. I'm glad we cleared that up.
I normally don't acknowledge that in public. I had two tours in Vietnam. One tour was a little bit hairy, and the other one was a piece of cake, if you can call it that, being away from your family and everything. My first tour was with the 25th Infantry Division, and my job was division aircraft recovery officer. And what that meant was when a helicopter of any description got shot down or went down for any reason whatsoever, be it maintenance or pilot error or whatever, my job and my little crew of about four people was to go out and either fix it, fly it out, or blow it up in place so that Charlie couldn't get it. The sniper fire got kind of hairy at times, and once in a while we'd get mortared. But we made it, thanks to God. No questions? Thank you for your time.
So the UPS guy is not my dad. That's finalized, right? I'm glad we cleared that up. Thanks, Pop. That probably took more courage than dropping in a red LZ coming up here. No, it does for me. Honor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, your mercy. God, honor is huge in your kingdom. God forbid that we forget what honor means, and that we don't live out honor, that we don't demonstrate the honor of our Father in heaven as well as our fathers in the earth. Help us, Lord, today as we open your word to let this go deep and to impact us and our children and our children's children in Jesus' name. We're in the book of Romans chapter 13. This particular text is in the Lexham English Bible. Pay to everyone what is owed. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to duties to whom customs and duties are due. Pay respect to whom respect is due. And pay honor to whom honor is due. We could, of course, debate how much tax is actually due in light of the Constitution, but that's not the nature of the message today. But what they're saying here is pay tribute in whatever form that takes place to whomever that tribute is due, including honor. Honor is a big deal. What we honor as a society is what we're stating, quite frankly, we want to reproduce in future generations. So think about future generations in light of what's being honored right now. It's not a good thing. I want to thank all those who come to morning prayer. Just so you know how my head works, I don't think it's a sacrifice to ask people to come to church one evening, one midweek evening, one Wednesday evening, a month for an hour or so and pray corporately. I don't think that's a sacrifice. I think what these men did who went away from their families for a year, I think that's a sacrifice. I think men who got shot up, I think that's a sacrifice. Men who died, I think that's the ultimate sacrifice. They purchased a freedom that if we don't pray, some of our kids are going to have to go back over there and shed their blood for it. We have the ability through prayer to prevent a lot of what could happen in the future. That's why I don't think it's a sacrifice as your pastor to ask you to follow me into spiritual combat. I have no hesitation about that. I look forward to seeing you the last Wednesday of every month at 6:30 for corporate prayer. John 15:13 said this, "This is the very best way to love," in the message, "put your life on the line for your friends. There is no greater love than a man would lay his life down for his friends." When I got saved and God delivered me from schizophrenia and all kinds of craziness, and for the first time in my life I had peace, I felt like I owed Jesus everything. And so I'd go out in the garage in our house in La Place, Louisiana. And I'd ride my bike around, and I'd just talk to God. And I asked God, okay, well, what do you think about all of my past? How should I feel about these things in my life? And one of the things that was big in my life was my service in the military. So I just asked God, because I had met a Christian who was a strong believer, and he was a conscientious objector, and he got out of the military based on his newfound faith. And I said, well, Lord, is that what I should have done? Should I not be proud of my service in the military, or should I have done something differently? And God spoke to me very clearly, and he took me to the scripture where the soldiers came and John the Baptist asked him, what should we do now that it's time to repent? What should we do? And John the Baptist didn't tell them that they should get out of the military and give everybody flowers. He said, do your duty and don't cheat people. God's all about people doing their duty. If you're a husband, you can have the same sense of honor as a military man. Guard everything within the limits of your post and quit your post only when properly relieved. When am I relieved from my marriage? When I put this suit back on and put you in the ground. Up until then, guard everything within the limits of your post and quit your post only when properly relieved. Is that the first general order of the Marine Corps as well? Yeah, you see? I tried to get in the Marines. I couldn't pass the test. Head wouldn't fit in the jar. I'm sorry, I had to do that. Okay, that's my. Yeah. See my dad clapping over here? This is what we grew up with for humor. I have been back to back with Marines though in a small drinking establishment in Southeast Asia. But we won't talk about that. We won't talk about that here today. But it was a good one, I'll tell you that. Okay. Honoring God. One way we honor God. How can we honor God? By the way, what does the word honor mean? I usually have the first definition of honor is something heavy. Something heavy. If you were honored with a medal and the medal was gold, the medal was heavy. It's weighty. There's something valuable to it. There's something heavy to it. When honor comes on you, there's a weighty responsibility that comes with it. There's a weightiness. It's, you know, Satan said, I will be like God. He didn't say, I'll be God. He said, I want to be like God. I want all the power and I want all the authority, but I don't want any of the responsibility. I just want to be like God. With power, with authority, with honor comes a certain degree of responsibility. You're expected to behave honorably. When you accept the honor of the sacrifice of Christ for your life, you should behave honorably in the name of Jesus. You should give honor to the Father. Malachi 1, 7 through 10 says this in the NLT. You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. And then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifice? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifice, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled or diseased? Trying to give gifts like that to your own governor and see how well he is pleased, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you, but when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of Heaven's armies. How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices cannot be offered. I am pleased with you, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. I am not pleased with you, and I will not accept your offerings. Now, this is obviously the Old Testament. We're not authorized to sacrifice any animals, although we may be sacrificing some steelhead trout soon. I'm sure some people will sacrifice some deer. But we're not offered. That was a token. That was an image of a foretaste of something to come. The need for sacrifice is over. Christ died once and for all time for all mankind for sin, that whoso would accept his atonement on the cross would have everlasting life. That's not what we're talking about. So what is the sacrifice that we place on the altar now? Anybody want to take a shot? Our lives. It's us. It's us. I would that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we're the sacrifice on the altar. So what kind of sacrifice do we give to the Lord? Farmer was walking across the barnyard, and a pig and a chicken were over by the barn, and they said, there's old Farmer Brown. He's a heck of a nice guy, and yeah, he's really been good to us. Got this good barn. He gives us good feed. He have a warm place to stay in the winter. We ought to do something to show him how much we love him. The chicken says, I got an idea. Let's make him bacon and eggs breakfast tomorrow. Pig said, hold on now, big boy. He said, for you, that's a sacrifice. For me, that's a commitment, ultimate commitment. What kind of sacrifice do we make for the Lord? What kind of our lives, what are we giving? Are we giving Lord the best of our lives? Or are we giving him the leftovers of our lives? Does our prayer life consist of us coming and begging God to bail us out of something that we never asked him about before we got into? And by the way, he's merciful. He'll bail you out. Are we giving God our leftovers at the end of the day? Are we giving him a few hours on a weekend? Are we living as a living sacrifice? Are we living to honor God? Are we living to honor what Christ has done on the cross? Are we living to see the other children of God on this planet that have not met their Father and do not know of his love? Are we honoring God by honoring his children? Isaiah 29:13 said, and the Lord said, because this people draw near to me with its mouth, and with its lips they honor me, but their heart is far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men that has been taught. Fear here is not demonic paralyzing fear. It's the weighty fear. It's like when you're working with high voltage, 40,000 volts. I'm not scared of the electricity is going to beat me up, but I am also extremely acute to my surroundings. There's a consciousness about me. I'm paying attention to the small. It's like operating a saw. You know what they call a guy who operates a saw without the fear of the saw? Usually it's Lefty. We say we honor God, but he's asking you, do you really honor me? Am I really revered in your heart? Is it evident by how you live, how you talk, how you behave at work, how you spend your money, what you do on the Sabbath or don't do on the Sabbath? And there is no Sabbath day per law, per rule, but there is a principle of Sabbath rest. There is a principle of honoring God with a day where you and your family just rest. This is a nation that could use some rest. I spoke with a young lady yesterday at Big Lots, my furniture fashion connection. She said we're starting our Black Friday on Thursday. I said, that's Thanksgiving Day. Yeah, I have to work Thanksgiving Day from 7 to 2 in the afternoon. That's ridiculous for a dollar. That's ridiculous. People should be home with their families. That's dishonoring to God. I bring to mind again Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, most profitable, one of the most profitable food chains in the world, closed every Sunday to honor God and to honor their employees and allow them time to be home with their family. Their return on the dollar is higher. Their profit margin is higher than any other McDonald's picket. And they work one day less and they have a higher prior margin. What is that? That's honoring God. When you honor God, guess what? He honors you. I got a kick out of it when certain elements of our society, of the gender dysphoric variety, decided to have a boycott of Chick-fil-A. Do you remember that? Largest single sales day in the history of the company. Who thinks God doesn't grin? I think he does. Honoring God, you honor God in your devotion to him, how much what you do with your time with regard to him. We also honor God in his body, the body of Christ. Look it around, and if Jesus is Lord of your life, you are the church. It's not the building, it's you. We are the body of Christ, his hands and feet. 1 Corinthians 11:29, for you eat and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Using communion as some sort of get-out-of-jail-free card, not understanding exactly what communion means, what it means to be at one, not only with the Christ, but with his body. You can't walk up to me and tell me that my head that you love me and then punch me repeatedly in the body. Can't do that for two reasons. One, I'll shoot you. And two, that's not love. You can't, well, I love Jesus, but I just don't think much about church. Well, then you don't know Jesus because he's not this head floating around. He's got a body, and this is it. Some parts of his body are in better shape than others. Have you noticed? Some are better looking. Hold your applause to the end. So he says, you need to honor God in his body. 1 Corinthians 11:17-33 says this. But the following instructions I cannot praise you. In the following instructions I cannot praise you. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. Can you believe that a bunch of church people get together and have divisions and petty opinions? God forbid. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And he says, but of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. You know, sometimes when you have a strong opinion, that's not a blessing from God. That's an exposure of your heart. When you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper, for some of you are in a hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What, don't you have homes for eating and drinking, or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you as well? Well, certainly I will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which I have given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took a cup of wine after supper saying, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me when you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. You are honoring what I have done and that I have been broken into many pieces that my body might become many people full of the same spirit that raised me from the dead to bring the kingdom to the earth and to destroy the works of darkness. That's the New Doug Version edition there. So anyone who drinks this bread or eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating and drinking the cup. For if you eat and drink the bread of the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That's pretty serious. This is why many of you are weak and some of you have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, so as encourage one another, build each other up, just as you're already doing. When you honor one another ahead of yourself, and that's another biblical command. If you want to do a nice word study and you've never done one, get a concordance out or go online, grab an online concordance and search one another. And see all the commandments that Christ gave under the category of it's not all about you, cupcake. These are all things that he asked us to do one for another. It's enlightening. So he says, when you gather together, if you want to honor me, honor one another. You know, I'm always blessed when people do things for me. But when they do things for my kids, that's serious. If anybody did something for me, they were my dad's friend for life. If they did anything to me, I didn't tell him. He has skills. It's a big deal for God. It's a big deal for God that we honor one another. Then you can honor God in your own body. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You belong to me. No, you don't belong to you either. You belong to God. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. That's why my body is here on Sunday. Don't you realize, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, just as you are that temple. And then we honor, finally, and dishonor God, or our honor or dishonor for God is evident in the treatment of people, how we treat others, in the body, out of the body, inside of our family, outside of our family. Do we acknowledge human beings as being created in the image of God? Do we acknowledge the vilest sinner, the vilest prostitute, drug dealer, the person you, the abortionist, the person you hold in the least discard? Do you acknowledge the fact that in spite of the evil and the wickedness in which they're involved, that the very fact that they're created in the image of our Father God, and the very fact that Christ died on a cross gave them value in the sight of the Lord? Because it did. It did. It did. Jesus always ups the ante, though. He doesn't just tell us, you know, look at Proverbs 14:31. He who oppresses the poor insults him who made him, but he who has mercy on the poor honors him. He honors who? Not the poor, although he's certainly honoring the poor. He honors the one who made the poor. But then Jesus, he ups it a notch. Jesus always stirs the pot a little bit. It's what I like about him. One of the many things. Matthew 5:43-48. You've heard the law say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Honestly, how much time, now I'm getting convicted, I may have to stop. How much time have we spent praying for people who have resisted us, persecuted us, maligned us, stolen from us, spoken ill of us? In that way, you'll be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. For he is... gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the just alike. You can't always tell the good guys by the dry roofs. We're all in this thing together. I'm telling you, we're all in this together. Whether they're in the body or out of the body, we're all doing this thing called life in the earth together. And I would like us to do eternity together. And for that reason, I present my body as a living sacrifice. I think service to the body of Christ and in this body of Christ, I think it is an honor and not a duty. If there's anyone here in a position of service and you consider it a duty, I will accept your resignation. I don't want you not doing this joyfully unto the Lord. I think it's an honor. We should have a problem where Mr. McFeeters gets mobbed by people after the service who want to volunteer to help distribute food to the poor. That's an honor to honor God by taking care of people who are in need. I think that's an honor. He said, but I say, pray for those. And then he said, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're only kind to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I just want to, before I close, Josh, why don't you come on up? I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Then I see those bumper stickers. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. It's like an alcohol. I'm not sober. I'm just drunk. I mean, I'm not perfect. Obviously, nobody's perfect. But if all you got to say for your life in Christ is, well, I'm forgiven. Jesus died for you. He filled you with the Holy Spirit. He said you could do greater works than he's done. He said if you would ask, he would give you nations as your inheritance. And then, and the most you can say for it is, I ain't going to hell. I think we can do a little better than that. I think we can honor the memory of the Lord a little better than that, don't you? So he said, be perfect. He's not talking about you to be perfect. He said, be perfect like I'm perfect. Well, when's the last time you spoke and a universe was created? I can't be that kind of perfect, but let me tell you, I can be perfect when I love perfectly. When I love like God loves, agape love, without condition, without circumstance. When I can love the guy who spits in my face, when I can love the person who mocks me, when I can love the person who's living in sin, when I can love the abortionist, when I can love the woman in the abortion clinic, when I can love the workers in the abortion clinic, doesn't mean I won't go stand out in front of an abortion clinic and try to save the lives of those babies because they need somebody to speak for them too. But it doesn't mean I have to hate anybody in there. It doesn't mean I have to consider myself better than anybody in there because I'm not. But for the grace of God, there go I. But when I love perfectly, when I choose to forgive, when I choose to walk in that kind of love, that's the perfection God wants in all of our life. He's trying to perfect Christ in us. He's trying to perfect love in us. And that's what real holiness is. If you were just to put a W in front of that, holiness. My wife and I went and saw a movie called A Beautiful Boy. It's not a Christian movie. They may say poo-poo in there or something, so if that bothers you, don't go. But it's about a father whose son became a drug addict. Just the hell that the family went through as a result of that. And at one point, this kid got clean for a while, and he was in a meeting, and he stood up and said, my problem is I'm addicted to drugs and heroin. I used to say alcohol and drugs. He said, but I don't say that anymore. He said, I got a big black hole in me, and I've got to find something to fill it, because if I don't, I'm going to medicate it with drugs and alcohol. It's not even a Christian movie. I'm telling you, in this hour, God's got rappers defending the honor of the presidency. He's got veterans on Saturday Night Live. He's got non-Christian movies telling people there's a big black hole in all of us and we need help filling it. My God, do the rocks have to cry out in this hour? Will God's people not rise up and cry out in this hour? Will we not hand honor down to the next generation? I'm not going to look Jessica in the eye and say, your sacrifice of being out with your husband doesn't mean anything. I'm not going to tell my dad, being away. I'm not going to say, being away from my dad for 2 years. Man, no, I'm just not going to do that. You don't have to be in the military to have honor in your heart. This is a very honoring church from the very first time I came in here. We need to honor God, though, in our love. Amen? This gospel must be preached. I want to plant a church. If we're going to have to plant it as a business, but I want to plant a church in North Korea. Why? Because it's one of the darkest places on the earth. Why not? Where else would you go? I don't think we need another one. I don't think anybody should hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once. How about you? Nate Saint. A man is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to lose what he can never to find what he can never lose, eternal life. So as we honor our veterans today and their families, God, thank you for their service. We take this moment to pray for Randy and for all of our soldiers, men and women of every branch of the military deployed around this planet. God, we surround them, God, with protection right now. We say no weapon that's formed against them will prosper in the name of Jesus. God, bring them home safely to their families. Bring them home safely. Bring them home filled with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you and your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.